Contest of Champions, episode number 19, season 1 finale.
Episode, all I heard was a big sigh come from you.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that.
It shows
what's coming.
It can't be. Jeff was kidding.
We'll see. We'll see.
He's been on the sauce, so he's unreliable.
That's true.
And our other competitor, Andy Legal. Andy, how are you?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you talking to us?
And the people who are listening.
Oh, okay.
Andy shows up on time once and he gets all bold.
Hey, I was there 2 weeks in a row. I had a good excuse last week.
That's true. I did say that to Ian earlier that, you did, despite your lack of appearance on the last episode, you actually did show up for the two before that, which didn't record, so.
And I had a good excuse. I was racing Batmobiles.
That's not a good excuse.
For the site.
I don't care.
It's a good excuse.
I'm a little jealous, that's why.
It did look pretty sweet, right?
Yeah, it did.
And speaking of third party apps, we also have our
Hey guys.
The third party app, Dan Brian, that's awesome.
How's it going, Dan?
Good, thanks.
That was offside, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's offside.
So I'm assuming everybody's good tonight. We all sound in good spirits. We're from the website comicattack.net, where we have lots of opinions about comics, comic news, and we asked the definitive question of who would beat up who in a fight. I'm going to leave it at that for now.
I could totally take Jeff.
You think so? I've got a bow staff and a flaming thurible.
That is true.
Yeah.
What's a thurible?
A thurible is like if you're in a real high church with lots of very Catholic liturgy. A thurible is like a round thing that you put incense in and coals and it burns incense and it's on a chain and so. Like, the acolyte will come in, and he'll be swinging the smoke and, like, doing, like, figure eights and all kinds of crazy shit. And
sounds terrifying.
It does, actually.
It is a little terrifying, but it's actually pretty holy and magnificent, so.
That's my favorite part of the Mass.
Is it really?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So.
Well, either that or where they come in, and he has the, it looks like a mace, but it's filled with holy water.
Oh,
and
yes.
He shakes it, and it, like, flies all over the people in there.
Yes, I was going to say, back when I did go to church, that was always hilarious, because I could always tell he was getting sick pleasure out of just blasting people with water with that thing.
So there are medieval weapons that have been converted into... That's awesome.
That's called an aspergillium, for those who are keeping track. But
you're just making stuff up now.
Yeah, I know. But the thing I love to do is on Ash Wednesday... When we put the ashes on people's foreheads, you'll have these folks who are dressed up and they're all like, especially women they're all decked out and they've got their makeup on and they're all looking nice for church. And then you like smear this black smudge like all over their face. Like, I love that. Anyway, sorry, I don't know where that came from.
All right.
Do we
well,
need to edit this out so Jeff still has a job. Gets published.
No, nobody, none of my church members listen to this. So.
Did anyone call Tom in?
Tom, where are you? No.
Oh, okay.
Is he on?
No.
Well, I know he messaged on Facebook. He wanted to. He said, "Dial me in." So I.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I assumed he was already on, but.
Oh. Crap.
Well, dial that mofo.
I will.
Let's get Tom in here.
Let's get him. Tom McNeely, where are you? There he is. Tom McNeely in the house.
Yo.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, how's
Take
your
it
Viper?
Off! Take it off!
What?
Andy's getting carried away.
Always the gay one.
How you doing, Tom?
Yes.
Pretty well.
Good. Very good. All right.
You want me to continue?
Go for it.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how COC works. Each week, we're joined by two of our managers who have each submitted a Marvel character in advance to fight. Each manager gives their rationales on the air as to why their guy can win, hoping to convince Jeff, myself, and all the listeners out there who are going to vote in the poll. You can listen to episode one to hear all about all of the characters that were drafted. The drafts are usually, I'd say, and most people agree, the most fun of the whole game. In order to win the competition, the competitor has to receive the best two out of three votes between my pick, Jeff's pick, and the winner of the poll. We will announce the winner at the beginning of each episode, and you can find all the rules for playing the game on a link in the post for this episode.
And if you have not been voting, it's really a shame, but this is how you do vote when we do have a fight. You listen to the podcast, come back here to comicattack.net to the post for this episode, share your opinion, your comment below, and help sway the public opinion. Vote on the poll in the post. You have until Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time to vote. That's when we record this lovely show. And votes at the time of recording will be the only votes that count. You can email us at capekiller@comicattack.net or jeff@comicattack.net. Or leave us a voicemail or text us at 706-761-0115. Although I'm thinking we're not going to do that anymore because nobody's doing it. So, oh well.
Doing what? I just cut out for a second.
Nobody's texting or calling, and it's sad to me. It makes me sad. I guess they don't want to.
I think they're just impressed by our knowledge. They feel like they'll sound silly.
That's true. Against us? That's right. You're right. You're going to listen to the next episode and see who wins. And one small disclaimer, this is all subjective and it's fun. And even if you lose horribly, like some of these guys have already, it's just fun.
Gee, thanks.
See, I was wondering if y'all were going to say anything. I was trying to get y'all involved there. So anyway, but laugh it off. Keep listening. It's all fun and games for us. It's all fun and games.
All right. And yeah. All in the spirit of fights and fights in comics, we have a little section on the show that we like to call our Fights of the Week. And we're in this section, what we're going to do is each one of us is going to go through our favorite fight from the week. From comics. Well, most of us will pick from comics. Andy usually just picks something about a bag lady or a bus driver.
Yes, that's true.
Dan, did you want to lead us off? You okay to start?
Sure, I'll go ahead.
All right, give it to us.
So my fight of the week comes out of the latest issue of Avenging Spider-Man.
Ah! Issue 3. Damn you!
Did I steal your thunder?
Yeah, you did. That's okay.
I guess this issue is written by Zeb Wells, penciled by Joe Madd. If you've been keeping tabs on this story arc, the Morloids kidnap J. Jonah Jameson, mayor of Manhattan, during the New York Marathon and drag them down to Subterranea to be Subterranea's champion against an invading underground army. Red Hulk accepted the challenge instead. Now he's dead. Well, presumably. Spidey manages to snatch JJJ from the situation, and they make a run for it on the back of this Tauntaun-looking thing. The underground army catches up with them, and Spidey is forced to fight the general named Raktar. So this guy just took down the Red Hulk in a couple of moves. The situation is looking pretty grim for our hero, but in pure Spidey wisecracking fashion, he ends up defeating Raktar by using a shard of the mineral that they use for the army's weapons. It's like this super sharp rock. Anyway, Spidey snares a fragment of with his web and swings it around himself, and Raktar gets close enough, and then it ends up cutting Raktar's armor or belt or whatever sort of chainmail loincloth he's wearing, the result of which leaves the general giving his soldiers the full Monty, So, because Webhead shamed him in front of his troops, according to Molten Law, this means he bested him and is therefore saves the day. Red Hulk finally heals and hurries to make his way back to Spidey, only to get there in time to see Rakdar in shackles and Spidey speaking to one of the soldiers and smoothing things out diplomatically. Needless to say, the Red Hulk is none too pleased that Peter single-handedly defused a situation where he himself could not. So it's very entertaining. The action is hard, fast. The art is beautiful, as is expected from Joe Madd. If Marvel had to have, you know, the comic book equivalent of a popcorn action buster, a blockbuster, I think this book would be it. You know, it's too bad Greg Land is doing the art for the next story.
Oh,
but...
no.
So we'll have to wait and see. Now, but yeah, that's my fight of the week, Spidey versus Rakdar.
You know, my only complaint about that whole issue, and it was pretty darn well perfect, but at the end, J. Jonah Jameson is talking to Spider-Man, and about three-quarters of Spider-Man's mask is
missing.
Blown off, and he doesn't realize that he's talking to Peter. And I think they could have done something really funny there, but they didn't, and it was just kind of like, okay, does he not realize that that's Peter, but oh well.
Like, you see the nose, the mouth, and, you know, a whole eye. It's like, it's literally three-quarters of his face is showing.
But it looked so good.
Jeff, are you going to continue on with this series now that Land's taken over?
Nope. Well, actually, Land is only doing one issue. And then your guy, Lineal Yu, is doing the next arc, which is Spider-Man with Captain America.
Oh, I love you.
Yeah. I love you, nice. Too.
More love from Ian.
I love you. That's nice.
Stop it.
I can feel the love. All right.
You guys suck.
It's just the booze talking.
All right, Andy, you want to go next?
Yeah, sure, I'll go next. Well, I did read a crap ton of comics this week. I'm serious. I think I'm on like 28 so far. But there were a few, but if I had to narrow it down to just one, I think I got to say Caligula, published by Avatar, number 6. Are any of you guys reading that?
No.
No.
No?
Wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, it's pretty – it's rated R+. Well, it's written by David Lapham. I mean, I'm sure that should kind of just explain a lot. But basically what happens is...
Was there a horse cock in it?
There was. He was screwing some chicks by the poolside. But actually, that's part of the fight. The guy comes in, his name is Laurentius, and he's kind of like been Caligula's general this whole time, but he's been plotting to, like, waiting for the right moment to turn against him, as has our protagonist. And he does kill that horse. And, like, every time he pierces it, like, maggots just fly out of it. Like, it's a demon horse.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then, like, the way they kill Caligula, it was just a really gory, like... Actually, that whole series was super effed up, but it was highly entertaining. I recommend it. It was cool. But then my other fight of the week was against myself struggling to finish Invincible Iron Man number 512. Holy crap, was that boring. God.
Didn't read it.
Yeah. Fractions really dragging that series. Like, I've never seen a book just crawl along.
You mean
like that one is?
You mean Fractions writing a book?
I mean, like his run's been LaRocca's still doing it, and it looks okay, but it's just so wordy, unnecessarily wordy. It's just like, wow, you're really like Ian just said, like you're really just dragging stuff out. So I just struggle to stay awake to finish that one. But Caligula, it's pretty crazy. The trade should be out soon. If you like weird stuff, check it out.
All right. Andy, what do you think?
You mean Eli?
What? Andy, sorry, Eli. You want to go next? All right.
Sure, yeah. Mine is Daredevil number 8, written by Mark Waid. And it's got Spider-Man and Black Cat in it, and there's a nice funny moment, and it's a part two of the story, and what's going on really doesn't the plot really doesn't have much to do with the entertainment value of my fight here. But Daredevil's looking for a device, some holographic thing. I can't really remember exactly. And Black Cat is helping him. And they're up on this rooftop, and they see some guys who land in a helicopter. There's four guys that get out of this helicopter, and they're pushing this safe on wheels, basically. And they're pretty sure that what they want is in the safe. So they're fixing to pounce on these guys, and the guys all pull out their guns. They see Daredevil and Black Cat over there, and they open fire, and of course they don't hit anything. Daredevil and Black Cat take cover behind some structure on the roof, and Daredevil pulls out his billy club.
And oh, yeah.
Easy. This is not Caligula. This is G-rated here. All right? Although there was a funny part I'll get to maybe.
There was sex.
So, he pulls out his billy club.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an actual billy club. It's
oh,
not
yeah.
a euphemism.
What's it shaped like?
Kind of like a candy cane.
Yes. Thank you, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
And he takes the hook end of it, and he throws it. Now, the helicopter is still running. You know how they'll sit there and the blade, the rotor is still spinning? And it catches on one of the blades, and it spins around and kind of winds up. And as it does, Daredevil lets go of the other end of his billy club, and it spins that end of the billy club around, the helicopter rotor does, and it takes out all the guys. It's genius. And then Black Cat does some acrobatic thing where she flies in one side of the helicopter and kicks the pilot out the other side, because he was the only goon left. And that's it. It's pretty freaking awesome, I think. I've never seen Daredevil use his billy club quite in that fashion before. So that's it.
That's it, huh?
Oh, there was one part that is pretty funny to me. It's not nearly as raunchy as Andy's whatever he had there. But so Daredevil, Black Cat, and Spider-Man are, you know, they're on a little adventure. They're finding out that both Black Cat and Spider-Man were framed by somebody, whereas they thought they framed each other. And Spider-Man and Black Cat, of course, have this history, sex and dating and all that crap. And so right at about the time where Black Cat and Spider-Man are discovering that they've both been framed, Daredevil thought that she framed Spider-Man. So he's like holding her down because he's with Spider-Man, of course. He thinks she's the villain. And so Spidey figures out that she's okay, and he says, "You can let go of her now, DD." Daredevil says, "I already did. She's holding me." And then she says, "Are you complaining?" And he goes, "Who am I, Spider-Man?" And then nice. Peter goes, "Oh, for God's sake." It's pretty funny. Pretty funny. He had some help with one of his stupid little comedic quips there.
That's awesome.
See? Nice G-rated fun, Andy.
Teen plus.
All right, maybe so.
All right, Tom, how about you? Do you have a play for us?
Yeah, I've got a few. I've been reading, of course, mine's a blast from the past. My new books just arrived yesterday, so I've haven't done much more than catalog them yet. But this week I've been catching up on, X-Men up through finishing Manifest Destiny and all that, and getting to X-Infernus. But one I chose was I've kind of taken a step back. I'm reading Annihilation finally. I finally closed the hole and was able to start that series. So what I pulled was Nova and Annihilation Nova number 4. And in this, what's happened is, of course, Annihilation Wave has come in and destroyed Xandar, which is the home of the Nova Corps and the World Mind and everything. And Richard Rider is the last survivor. And so he ends up the World Mind ends up putting the entire Nova force and itself, downloading it into him. And he's having trouble controlling it. And so by issue 4 here, he's finally figuring out how to control the power somewhat and how to use the World Mind to help him. And so it has him, he and Drax and Quasar come up with a plan to attack the Annihilation Wave and go after Annihilus himself. And so Nova's heading into the fleet and ends up using World Mind as a tactical, first of all, as a tactical computer to fill him in on what's going on around him. So it just has him cruising through the fleet, just destroying things left and right, just blasting his way through. At one point, though, he starts getting overwhelmed, and Quasar comes in to help, and together the two of them blast into Annihilus' command ship. And Annihilus is kind of planning for this. He lets them in. So they both confront him, and Annihilus ends up grabbing Quasar and destroying him, which should raise a cheer among the group here, since this is one of my characters, and this is a whole debate back when we were fighting. But anyway, so he ends up...
There was no debate.
What's that?
Ouch.
So he ends up, once he's gotten Quasar, he goes after Nova and catches him. And Nova, it turns out, has worked out a plan with the World Mind. So when he connects to Annihilus, the World Mind takes command of a chunk of the Annihilation fleet and has them turn around and start attacking the rest of them. So he basically turns a chunk of the fleet on itself. And so they manage to strike a blow for the group, although Nova barely makes it out alive, and he and Drax and the kid that would fly off to the actual Annihilation series. So it was pretty exciting fight. It's Annihilation's had some pretty good battles, and it's Abnett and Lanning were the writers, and Kev Walker and Rick Magyar were the artists of the series. So. Pretty interesting, a nice little blast from the past for all you guys with the new books.
What book was that again?
This is Annihilation Nova number 4.
Cool.
That was a good one. That was very good.
Well, my fight of the week, since it was taken from Dan, I'm going to pull an Andy, and I'm going to talk a little bit about, I don't know if you guys... I don't know if you guys heard about this, but it turns out that Robert Kirkman and Rob Liefeld are going separate ways on the book The Infinite. A few days ago, Rob Liefeld tweeted, "Infinite fans, update. I tried a new finisher / inker over 14 pages of issue number 5. I loved them, but split decision at Skybound. Re-inking them now. I'll show all the rejected pages in the hardcover. Want everyone happy with final product." And then, I guess yesterday or the day before, Liefeld said, "Unfortunately, creative differences have sunk the infinite. It's over. Because of my desire that my work looking the way I intended, it's over. Artistically, I'll continue to seek out talented collaborators to work with that keeps me energized for the next 25 years. For 10 years, all my printed work was printed from my pencils. Now I'm rediscovering the appeal of working with a variety of inkers." So so what it sounds like is that Robert Kirkman finally realized that Rob Liefeld sucks. And then that book really sucked. So anyway, I just think it's funny that they
yeah, he's got 3DC titles now.
But yeah, and what is that? Like, this guy, first of all, he gets canceled on Hawk and Dove, and then he gains 3 more titles, and then
yeah, I don't know.
And then now, I just don't understand, why are they feeding the bear? Like, why are they continually letting this guy get work? I cannot.
I think, honestly,
maybe
if you want,
he knows who all their mistresses are.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like a subconscious strike from DC at Marvel. Like, ha ha, we got Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld from you. Ha 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 ha, you know?
do you really think Marvel cares about that? I mean...
Hell no.
Liefeld sucks.
Yeah.
Did y'all read The Infinite?
Yes, I read number 1. I didn't read beyond that.
Oh, it was just a train wreck it was bad.
The concept was, you know, didn't sound terribly original, but it sounds interesting. You know, it'd be a good movie.
You can't convince me. That it was terrible.
The guy is horrible, and there's no way he should have work. ahead of so many other just innumerable talented guys.
That's right.
Are we talking about Greg Land?
I'm just talking about Rob Liefeld.
I mean,
hey, did you read that issue of Uncanny? Cyclops did the Greg Land staple, which is a guy with his arms straight out like he's on a cross. In every single Greg Land issue or cover, there's a guy with his arms directly out,
and it was Cyclops. And all of it is a photo reference from Triple H.
Triple H, yeah. It's always the same one.
That's great.
You get away with that over and over again.
I know. Anyway,
I saw something this week that I thought was hilarious. I'm trying to find it real quick. It was in Deadpool around number 3 or 4. And they make a comment about pouches, and Deadpool says, "You can never have too many pouches." And he turns to the face of the camera and says, "Right, Rob?"
That's nice.
That was Daniel Way, right?
Daniel Way, right?
Well, if you want to hear a great review of the first issue of Infinite, go back and listen to Tales from the Water Cooler, where we devoted a large chunk of an episode to the Infinite. So,
all right. So I guess I'm last.
Yeah, go for it.
My fight of the week comes from one of my favorite books. It's a book that I never hear anybody talking about, but I absolutely love it. I think it's consistently awesome, and that's Thunderbolts. The newest issue, Thunderbolts 169.
And what's happened is,
what's that?
It's amazing. It's a great book.
Still published that?
Oh yeah.
Phenomenal.
The Thunderbolts, Luke Cage, I don't know if it was his decision or somebody above him, but they decided to put together a B team of Thunderbolts because the A team was just, they were too busy all the time. This B team under this, you know, I forget what the circumstances were, but they escape and they start time traveling because of this thing that Fixer has set up. And they're going through these different time periods, but unfortunately for them, they keep going backwards. So they can hit the spot they want to hit, but they just can't seem to hit the time. And what's been happening is every time period they go to, they have no problem in that time period. They just kick the ass of, you know, whoever happens to be there. But this time around, they end up in the time period of King Arthur, and then the Knights of the Round Table, pardon me, with Merlin and those guys. And it is just awesome because this Thunderbolts team, they just get their asses handed to them by the Black Knight with the Ebony Blade and Arthur with the with Excalibur and Merlin. They just absolutely demolish the Thunderbolts. And the art in this, the art's by Kev Walker, and he does such a fantastic job. I'd love to see him on more books. He's a brilliant, brilliant artist, does an excellent job, perfect comic book artist. His drawings of Merlin are some of the best I've seen this year. Yeah, so I won't describe the fight in detail or anything like that, but it's, you know, it's kind of blow for blow. Each guy's smashing on each guy, and then, you know, to make a long story short, then the Thunderbolts are all in chains in the dungeon. It was an excellent, excellent issue with tons and tons of fighting.
All right.
Yeah, nobody reads that book, but it's so good.
It is so good, yeah.
Jeff Parker's been rocking it since he took over.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was reading it. It was awesome, but I quit reading it about when Satana came on board.
Yeah, I like that. I like that cast right before Satana and whatever. I read recently an issue, I guess, where they went to the Jekyll and Hyde time, and
they're trapped in time right now.
I mean,
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper time. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't really like those characters very much. But.
They're really well suited for this book, though, for this time period. Because you have Troll and all those guys and Hyde. They're just perfect. Like, the King Arthur's court, the Knights of the Round Table, they're pretty sure that Hyde's a giant, right? So they have all these strategies on how to take down a giant. And it's interesting. It's got this kind of – it has this historic feel to it. I don't know. I like it a lot.
Cool. All right, well, it is time to talk about last week's fight, which was Beta Ray Bill versus Exodus.
Let's get ready to rumble! Contest champion.
see. Let's start with the poll. How about that?
Sounds good.
You guys want to do that?
I'm going to go get a beer while you look at the poll.
Okay. Grab us one. So I'm looking at the poll now, and, well, I was, and it disappeared. Oh, it hasn't loaded yet. But earlier when I looked at it, it was, the score was like 7. Oh, here it is. It was 7. Ooh, it went up a little bit since I saw it last. We got 12 votes, and it turns out that Exodus has pulled out the win with 7 votes over Beta Ray Bill's 5 votes. So that's where we are on the ComicAttack.net poll. And Ian, are you back yet?
Yep.
Okay. Do you wanna go or you want me to?
Doesn't matter to me.
Okay, because this is the make or break right here. Because it's not really the make or break, because if I choose Beta Ray Bill, then it won't be. But I'm not. I'm gonna choose Exodus, because I just think Exodus is just way too powerful. I really like Eli's argument about, you know, possibly this being a cyborg brain and how could he manipulate that. But I think he's enough. He's cyborg, but he's also alien, and I just think he has a sentient mind. And Exodus, I think, is just so stupid powerful that he could take control of Beta Ray Bill's mind and do whatever he wants to with it. You know, there was a lot of talk about teleporting and all of that stuff, but I really think it just comes down to telepathy and whether or not somebody can take control of somebody else. And as much as I hate to say it, but I think that because the other thing is I really was kind of hoping that we could at least make it until next week, which was Exodus Returns and X-Men Legacy, and I was hoping to see if that would be kind of a good jumping on point or would have something to say about this fight, but it just didn't. The timing didn't work out. So
wait,
I think,
unless this episode doesn't record.
Well, that's true. That's true. Which could very well happen. You know, so I'm gonna have to lean towards Exodus on this one with his uber powerful telepathy. And honestly, Exodus might have been a little too powerful for this contest. I don't know. But
what?
I don't know. Ian, what do you think?
I went with Exodus too. And for me, the interesting thing for Exodus is the and believe it or not, it's something that I, before this competition, I never even knew, even though I'm a pretty big Exodus fan, was the teleportation stuff. I think if Exodus has all of his powers, all the powers, you know, that we know he has, but isn't able to teleport, then I think it's a really even fight. I think that Beta Ray might even have a chance to wear him down then, because with his telekinesis, what he would do is, you know, he'd have all kinds of force fields and things like that. But Beta Ray would just pound on them all day long, and it would wear him out. You know, and it's going to create a great deal of strain on Exodus just holding those shields up and stuff. For me, probably his weakest of all of his powers is his greatest strength in this fight, and that's that teleporting power. Because I think his other powers hold him toe to toe with Beta Ray, and then you throw the teleportation in, and then it becomes really difficult for Beta Ray to pin him down, like really difficult to know where he's going to be or, how he's going to pop up or anything like that. I think that personally, you know, and I guess I shouldn't let too much of my personal feelings come into this and try to be as scientific about it as possible. But I think that Beta Ray is more bravado than real. I think Beta Ray Bill will tell you how tough he is, and Beta Ray Bill will tell you about how he smashes planets with his bare fists, and he tells you all about just how strong he is. But for me, the proof's got to be in the pudding, and you don't see a whole lot. I know that Beta Ray went and he destroyed the planets ahead of Galactus when he was trying to starve him. I understand that with Stormbreaker and stuff. I just don't know, and I understand the scale of that power, but I think that's the whole thing with Exodus, is his power is on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. He's got more of a micro power, and we saw that when he reconstructed Professor Xavier's brain, you know, particle by particle, molecule by molecule. And I don't know. I think Exodus is too fine an artist against Beta Ray Bill, who's too big a brute for Beta Ray to win. So yeah, I went with Exodus.
Well, that spells doom for Eli, but that spells congratulations to Andy.
And Kid.
Our COC champion.
Although I'm going to go ahead and say right now, Andy wins the competition, but not without help from one Mr. Infinite Speech.
I said and Gid.
So we are crowning co-champions tonight. Mr. Andy Legal and Mr. Gid Friedman, Infinite Speech. They both share the title of our first COC podcast championship. So everybody, let's give them a big round of applause or some sort of congratulatory sound.
I'd like to thank my mom for taking me to the comic book stores when I was young. I'd like to thank all the bullies who mocked me for reading comics, because it just made me want to read them more. I'd like to thank God for granting me the wisdom to debate my character. I'd like to thank the judges. They know what's up. And I'd like to thank my opponent for losing so gracefully.
And you forgot to add the most important thanks of all. You want to thank Ian for drafting Exodus for you.
He was on, what are you talking about? He was on my list.
You are high.
No, I'm not high. I will bust out that text. He's totally on my list.
So let's get this through. So Ian drafted him, and Gid
no,
argued.
Ian did not. No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I mean, Gid has a concussion, and they end up beating all of us. So.
Tonight's fight: Andy versus everybody.
So Andy, did you have Exodus before or after Hercules on your list?
Oh, nice.
Before, because I put all my mutants first.
And Volstagg.
I'm going to find it.
You're going to find it?
Yes.
That's great. Well, while y'all are finding it, if you agree or disagree, you can always email us at Jeff.
I'm looking at it right now. I emailed Ian on October 22nd, 2011. And I'll tell you my list in order.
Okay, go for it.
Hang on, it's a long conversation.
October 22nd? What are you talking about?
Or maybe that's back when... Hang on.
It's August 3rd. I got it right here. It's August 3rd. I can read it for you if you want.
Read it.
Uh-oh. So it was Thor.
Oh, shit, you're right.
I'm always right.
Did I not draft him?
I love it. Keep going. Thor, who else?
Miss Marvel.
Juggernaut. Juggernaut was on there.
Juggernaut was above the Cap.
Right.
But he was on the list.
Oh, Lord. And
is Exodus on the list at all, Ian?
Hold on. So we'll go through them. Hercules. Oh, okay. Hercules. That was the depowered Hercules. Okay. Monet. Volstagg.
Ooh,
Magneto. Yeah.
Magneto.
Gladiator. Okay, decent pick. Falcon.
Falcon?
Yeah. Black Bolt. And Scar. That was your list.
Did you have Volstagg above all those other guys?
Yeah. Listen, this is what I failed to bring up in our debate that I forgot about until I reread the Siege hardcover.
Basically.
Volstagg stood toe-to-toe with Clone Thor. Okay. And Siege.
Yeah, but everybody's beat Clone Thor.
Yeah. Oh. With great honor comes great humility.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway, because if it came down to Magneto and Beta Ray, it would have been over before it began.
Ah. Maybe not before it began, but yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. That would have been a tough fight.
Ian, what were you going to ask?
Oh, no, I was just saying, do you remember, Jeff, when we were doing the draft and I emailed you and said, do you think Andy wants me to pick these guys in the order he has them listed? Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So I was like, so I'm going to pick a depowered Herc or Monet above Gladiator and Vulcan and Scar? It was bizarre. Hey, Andy, I had to take Exodus to save your team.
And save your team it did. And save your team.
So are there two asterisks?
Yeah, I think so. Congratulations, Andy,
there should be.
Ian, and Gid.
So we have a triune champion for the first COC podcast. So
that's okay. I'm not a selfish man. It's all right.
Congratulations.
I did that on purpose. I wanted everyone to feel included.
Everybody wins.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody wins. Everybody's a winner. Well, you know who the real winners are our listeners. Those are the real winners. So, all right. Well, thank you guys for all the fights. It was really good. But I thought what we would do is maybe we could talk a little bit about some of the fights and where. I don't know.
Can I comment on an old fight?
Yeah, please.
I think I got away with one when I beat Strange, and it was a week. I mean, Tom probably wouldn't have noticed it anyway because you don't read current comics. But literally the next week after we had that Strange fight, Strange used the bands.
It wasn't the week after. I pointed out the issue in my arguments.
Yeah,
they used them.
No, because it didn't come out. What? No, but there was one that came out literally a week after where he clearly used the bands.
Okay, yeah, because there's an alternate spelling of them or something in the one I highlighted, yeah. It was spelled in like an archaic form or some variant on Sidorak, but...
I think that would have changed Jeff's mind, but it definitely still doesn't change mine.
Yeah, and if I lost Magneto that early, that would have really sucked.
Mm. Yeah, I thought I had Magneto hands down on that one. Too. I was a little surprised by how the voting turned out.
Yeah. What else? Any other fights that stand out to you guys?
What about if it ended up different with different drafting? What about Exodus versus Magneto for the last fight?
Yeah. What do you guys think? Do you think who do you think would win in that one?
Ooh.
Black Bolt.
Magneto.
Black Bolt.
Yeah, I'd say Magneto too, because there's no way Exodus would have been his lackey for so long if he really could beat Magneto.
I'd say Magneto, pending what happens in Exodus's upcoming appearances.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, see, I mean, I still think the helmet, so long as he has the helmet, I think he's okay. And I think he would just, I think he could use the iron in Exodus's blood and hold him in place. I mean, I just think Magneto right now is a god. He is tough to beat right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. In that, what's it called? Not a Hero, or is that what it's called? Magneto, not a
Hero. Not a Hero.
That was amazing how he took down the Brotherhood and Joseph, who is him, and. You know, he took Magneto took his lumps, but you know, he ultimately took him down pretty easy. That's a whole team, you know, like a whole team including himself. He's pretty tough right now.
It's crazy too. Scotty Young, an artist, is writing that series.
I love it. It's crazy. I love Scotty Young. I love Scotty Young. He's my hero.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, he's certainly not a hero. Or wait, that was bad.
Yeah, let's not dignify that with a response. So, any other thoughts on an Exodus versus Magneto? Anybody think Exodus could win? No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Eli, were you going to say something?
I mean, Magneto. He's about one of the most powerful beings on the planet, at any given time, and. If he feels like it, I mean, who couldn't he subdue? Really, it would be real tough. So I definitely think he could take Magneto.
See, now, this was going down during Nation X, I don't know. Maybe not. Right before he pulled the bullet back.
Right.
So yeah. He's done other stuff. Like, he pulled... There's this asteroid belt that orbits out past Pluto, the solar system. He pulled all that in once.
The Oort clouds?
I can't remember exactly, but, I mean, that's farther away from Earth than the sun. And he pulled them in toward the Earth and got them well within the solar system. There's no other being that I could think of off the top of my head who could do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when you think about it and what he can do, I mean, even guys like Vulcan and, you know, they just don't hold a candle to him.
I just remember when we did the first one of these I ever took part in, like way back on the other side, was I drafted Magneto, a resurrected Magneto, or no, a repowered Magneto, but that was denied because he was over the cap. But then someone drafted Magneto as is, and he got him, because at that point in time, he was missing his powers. He just had a suit from the High Evolutionary, which gave him his powers.
Right. Do you remember what happened to him?
Did you beat him?
I beat him with Kitty Pride. Because whenever she phases through electrical equipment, it screws it up.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was a good strategy too.
Well done.
Very well done.
Do you guys notice that too? How all the recent appearances of the Red Hulk, it seems like they've been scaling him down. So he was beat by that mole guy by getting stabbed with a sword. And then in his upcoming, in the fight with the Avengers and the X-Men, it looks like he's going to get his ass kicked by Colossus.
He's going to be in that Venom crossover too.
Yeah. They've really been toning him down. Like, because when they first brought him in, right, he was like the power of like 35 Hulks.
Yeah.
Dude, since Jeff Parker's been writing that series, it's been great. Oh yeah, he's writing Thunderbolts too. You guys should read Red Hulk. It's actually really good right now. I know it sounds horrible, but it's not.
Dan, do you read Red Hulk?
No, I do not. I dropped it at around issue 10 or 12.
Yeah, see, that was bad. You want to start at issue 25 up. That's when the new team takes over. That's when it's no longer Loeb and McGinnis, but it's Jeff Parker and Gabriel Hardman. I mean, have you thumbed through it recently? Like, it looks awesome.
Parker's a good writer, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hardman's a good artist.
Yeah. It's the right formula. And they're, like, tapping into, like, who he is, like, who General Ross is, you know?
Nice.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
All right. So go ahead.
We're thinking of going lower cap next time. What do you guys think of that?
It sounds good to me.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, before we end the show, I did want to toss out another question that we had gotten last week, but we didn't have time to cover. And see where this. So we'll just see where this goes, since we don't. Since we're at the end here, and this is our season. This is our season finale. But here's the question: could a DC Marvel crossover ever really work?
No. No.
Why?
Because any crossover or team up, it's always the same flipping formula. Oh, who are you? Let's fight. Oh, we're friends. Oh, there's a common enemy. Let's team up and fight him. Boom. That's it. Like, I don't think there's anybody who's writing comics right now that's got a big enough grasp on everybody to make that work. Like, I don't think so. Unless it's super tight. Like, you pick three guys from each side and you keep them together, and maybe that could work, but I just don't. And like, what could they fight? Like, they all have to be the same power level. Like, you can't have like a Thor, you know, Iron Man, Cap team. Like, Batman just seems outclassed by everybody in Marvel, doesn't he?
He seems outclassed by everybody in DC, but he still manages to, you know, stomp That's on true. Most of them.
I don't know. He doesn't seem to be outclassed by everybody to me.
I don't know. I don't think it could work.
Jim Shooter had on his blog. There was apparently a deal in the works a while ago, decades ago, before we ever saw any of this stuff. It would have been the first one, and Shooter published on his blog maybe a year ago or so the plot that was going to happen. But it basically came down why it didn't happen, if I remember correctly. You know, DC and Marvel couldn't agree on the who was going to be the perceived winner, you know?
Of course not.
But right. from what I can't remember the exact plot, but I remember being impressed with it. But of course, it was Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. You know, I think it could work if it wasn't those guys.
Yeah.
A Superman, I would never want to read a Superman crossover with any, or Thor or Spider-Man or Batman. But give me some more secondary characters. I think that could be interesting.
See, I think that the only way that it actually did work, whether you like this or not, was the Amalgam universe.
Uh-huh.
And where they decided they weren't going to pit these characters together. They were instead going to merge them together and make them into their own little universe. And, you know, I don't remember, I think that might have happened. Did that happen after Age of Apocalypse? So that must have happened when I was in college and I wasn't collecting anymore. But I always thought the idea was cool, and I did like seeing all the different titles that were coming out and how they mashed everybody up and did all that kind of stuff. I think that's the only way that you're really going to get a good crossover, because it can't be one versus the other, because, you know, they're just not going to do that. I mean, that's stupid, you know?
Yeah, and it'd need to be a longer storyline than just one issue. That's also another problem. That's why you end up with the same formula each time, because you have to introduce the characters, pit them against each other, have them meet somehow, and then they have to have a threat they can still wrap up in the last five pages of the story. You know, if on the other hand, if you were to have, say, a mini series or even a maxi series, you have put out like a 12 issue series with a you know, gigantic, say something like a Crisis on Infinite Earths type threat, and have them band together, give them some time to interact and to showcase more characters and more interaction. I think something could be made to work. Kind of contrary to what Andy said, I think there's probably a better knowledge now. There are enough people that have worked for both companies that I think there's probably better knowledge now than there was, say, in the past, say, back in the 70s when you had people who were exclusive to one studio or the other. I think now you have more journeyman-type artists and writers who've worked for both Marvel and DC, and I think there are some people who do have a good concept.
I never read JLA versus Avengers. How did that pan out?
Oh gosh, that's so long ago. That was actually pretty good. That was, I think, is a retry of something they tried earlier. Is like, was it Wolfman Perez had written something back in the early '80s, and it was about half finished when they shelved the project, and so it ended up being revived like 20 years later. I thought it was pretty good personally. I'm not sure how the industry reacted to it, but it was so long ago I can't even remember what the plot was.
Yeah.
See, I think you could make this work no problem, and I think it would be high interest, be a great story, and make a ton of money. All they have to do is do it like the namesake of our game, Contest of Champions, set it up exactly like the original Contest of Champions miniseries, where you have like, say, four galactic beings, two from Marvel, two from DC, and it's basically like a game that they're playing, and they draft their team, and they throw their team, you know, and so you have teams that are a mix of DC and Marvel guys, and they have goals that they have to achieve. Like in the original Contest of Champion, they split this golden sphere into quarters, and each team had to retrieve one of the quarters while fighting against the other team to try and get it and find it. Just something simple like that, because it's not life or death or anything, but at the same time, you know, you get some good punch-ups and some good wins and some good defeats and things like that, and when it's all said and done, it's just good comic book writing, right? It's not so much, you know, who beat who. It's more, you know, that was awesome. You know, did you see, you know, so and so knocked so and so out? And if they couldn't come together on who beats who, they should think of a fun way to do it. You know what I mean? Like get together and have a big game of poker or something like that. And the stakes are, you know, characters winning fights and stuff like that.
Okay,
that'd be fun.
So you're assuming that DC and Marvel are not big businesses, and that they're actually doing this to write good stories and to make this fun. Like,
hey,
this would never happen in a million trillion years, which are suggesting.
No, but listen. None of us buy the same comics, right? All of us that are on here right now, there's probably not one comic that we could list that we all buy, right? I think if they did this, we would all buy that comic. We would all buy those comics. Like, if it's a 12-issue mini, I think most of us would be on board. You know, so in terms of big business, I think they'd make a ton of cash with that.
Maybe a cool way to make it end, like, so they don't have to decide who beats who, just everybody dies. Everybody.
Or everybody lives.
No. That's
so morbid. Jeez.
It's so cliche. Didn't you guys read that article that just went out on how who did you guys see that article? Someone put up an article that I saw on my Facebook feed, and I can't remember what the site was from, but someone recently wrote an article about how comics are darker and like sexed up and a threat to society again. Did you guys see that?
Oh, for crying out loud.
Well, didn't Fox News put out an put out something about Fox News, yeah, which is the most unreliable source of news ever, but
except for MSNBC.
Well, all of them suck, but
yeah. I mean, all they were talking about yesterday was Seal and what's her name breaking up. Who gives a shit?
That's why I get my news from Jon Stewart.
Oh yeah.
And Stephen Colbert.
So, oh my.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, what do you listeners out there think about a Marvel DC crossover and what if whether or not it could actually work? You can go to comicstag.net to the post on this episode and vote. You can email us at jeff@comicstag.net or capekiller@comicstag.net, or you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 706-761-0115 with your questions or your comments. So next time, what's going to happen, Ian?
I don't know. One of the things that we were looking at was maybe doing like an Avengers versus X-Men theme behind it. And what we would do is maybe try, and this isn't for sure, but maybe try something along the lines of when you submit your fighters, you're allowed to submit a certain amount of points for the fight. And each player, each fighter has a certain amount of points attached to them. So that way it's not necessarily a one against one. It could be a three against one. So if you've got someone like Thor and, you know, they're worth a total of 50 points, you could submit 50 points worth of characters to fight against Thor.
We're playing Hero Clicks.
I don't know what that is.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't either. I mean, I know it's a game, but I've never played it.
Yeah, I never did either.
It's actually pretty fun, to be honest with you. That's what they do. Like, you have a team, and like, you know, you play a battle, like a 300-point battle. But like a Thor click piece is worth like 250 points. But like, contrary to that, like Wolverine's like 75. So, you know, if we're playing a battle, that's a 300-point battle. You can have, like, Thor and then a weenie, or you can just have a bunch of weenies. Just bail on them. Speed on Thor with your weenies.
there are probably a bunch of people who are listening to this who can't believe that we don't know what HeroClix is. I mean,
I'm kind of surprised. Your stores don't stock them?
Oh yeah, my LCS does, but I've never gotten into it. I just know it exists, and I know what
it is. If you guys lived near me, we would be playing HeroClix weekly. It's a fun game. It's like chess, but for, you know, superheroes, and they do a really good job of representing their powers too. So
that's
anyway.
Pretty convincing. Like chess, but with superheroes. I like that.
It is. It really is. It's like you have a map, you have a strategy. You obviously have like your main character. You got to protect. He goes down, you're pretty much screwed. But it's good times.
See,
I always play with a team of X-Men.
The only reason I haven't played that is because I don't like to spend money on buying all the pieces.
Yeah, there's that. But again, I just play X-Men, so I've pretty much got every piece I want.
Yeah.
Or need.
Right. So we're going to take a couple of weeks or a few weeks off, even though we just did that. But just so we can have a little bit of a break, but also we can kind of regroup and see how we want to do the next season. And so we're going to do that. But we hope that all you guys are going to come back and join us for the next game. And maybe we can actually get Gid on to draft a team.
Yeah, we should, totally yeah. Get good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Anyway, you can do us a favor and go to iTunes and leave us a review.
It's, do we have any?
We have one still, and we appreciate that one. But anybody can go, even you guys can go and leave a review. It's and you know, it helps people find us a little bit quicker, and you know, you should always leave a review for any podcast that you listen to, so or take part in, and spread the word about our show. Go to your local LCS as you're playing HeroClix, and you say, "Oh my gosh, there's this great podcast where these guys are basically doing what we do, only they talk about it on the show." So. So spread the word about our show. Follow us at on Twitter at COC Comic Attack. You can also find us on Facebook at COC Podcast.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you guys think of this movie Chronicle?
I don't know anything about it other than this weird trailer that showed up like in the middle of my, like I was watching something on Hulu and like just this bizarre trailer that is not even like a regular trailer.
Yeah, it's. It seems like. That's what it seems like. How many powers can we think up that people can use that don't require a lot of special effects?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, now that you mention it, I know what you're talking about. It's kind of like taking Cloverfield and merging it with they're like documenting the emergence of their powers or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll probably it's kind see of like it. Taking push and putting it into the first person video cam format.
Yeah, that's
probably a rental. Or
are you guys reading Brilliance? Have you read Brilliant by Bendis?
No, I haven't read it.
I read the first issue and was not impressed.
Does it look like that Chronicle movie? It kind of sounds similar.
I don't know.
No? Okay.
Not much happened in the first issue, so.
Okay, I haven't read it yet.
It's not that great. I was really disappointed with Mark Bagley's art, but
yeah, it looked really rushed.
Yeah, it did. It did. So.
Word.
Did everybody do their download and get the $5 coupon from Marvel?
What?
No, and nobody came into my store and brought one in. I was really kind of surprised. Like I was bracing for it, ready for it, and nobody came in.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, Marvel ran a promotion. If you downloaded an issue on their app, you got a $5 coupon for Marvel Comics in the store.
Oh, nice.
So it's like a $1.99 purchase, you get $5 in free comics. So.
Wow.
So you get a comic.
Yeah. You get a couple if you get regular price. Or it goes against trades, and they don't specify if it's new or back issues either.
Yeah, and they refund the retailer, which is pretty cool. But nobody brought them in. I was really kind of surprised. Yeah. I don't know what that means. Does that mean nobody's paying attention to digital, or nobody gives a shit? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Did you do it, Tom?
Yeah, I did it. I went yesterday and picked up, of course, I get $5 for free comics, so I buy 100. But no, I went to the local comic store, which is about half an hour away, and of course I go to town whenever I walk into a LCS. So it actually, I think my $5, I'd say I put it against a an old treasury-sized Superman versus Spider-Man.
Oh.
They were offering for $10, so I got it for
$5. Nice.
And then picked up a bunch of back issues and new issues I don't subscribe to yet because I haven't updated my pull list in every year.
Sweet.
So picked up a bunch of stuff. But since I don't subscribe there, I don't get the discount. So, of course, I'm stupid enough to pay full price.
Just subscribe.
Yeah, but what I have to do is just send an email to my online comic shop I buy from and have them send it to me. But
yeah,
there's still back issues stuff. I usually order online from CCL or someone, mm-hmm. or Lone Star or some company like that. I usually put together a list every so often and fill holes.
Lone Star.
That's what it sounds like. Totally. That's Spaceballs, right?
That is.
Yeah. One of my favorite movies.
That's great.
A great one.
A lot of people, a lot of my younger customers hate that movie. I'm like, are you kidding
what?
Me? Yeah, I guess it just doesn't survive the test of time. I don't know.
It's pretty lame looking now.
But I think that's what makes it hilarious.
Yeah, me too.
Mel Brooks, that was Mel Brooks in his prime, back when he was doing History of the World Part 1 and Blazing Saddles and all those awesome movies.
Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, Young Frankenstein. Men in Tights. Robin Hood Men in Tights.
No, I love Men in Tights.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It has its moments, but I thought it was a little bit flatter than Spaceballs.
Yeah.
But History of the World Part 1 is one of my favorites.
They rapped in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah. And they had a theme song.
Yeah, it did.
And Manly Men, Men in Tights.
Good shit. All right. Oh, yeah.
All right, Ian, let's wrap this up, man.
One of my mother-in-law's claimed the fame is that she had John Candy's couch.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Did it have a big dent in it? Or?
No, it was in good shape. Strangely enough, it was... Oh,
poor John Candy. Yeah, he was fat.
Very astute, Jeff.
His last name is Candy.
Yeah, you can't not be fat.
He never had a chance.
Yeah, I know. He was so delicious.
Oh.
Hey, you see, though, right now, the two Canadians on here are hating against you, right? You just crossed the line.
I love John Candy, actually.
Yeah, he's Canadian? Of course he's Canadian.
He was, phenomenal.
Of course he's
really,
Canadian.
He really kind of kept that a secret.
Are you going to make fun of Eugene Levy next? Or
Canadian bacon.
Who's Eugene Levy?
That was one of the things that made Canadian bacon so funny. Anybody who knew it knew that John Candy was playing like the typical American in the movie was actually Canadian.
Who said, who's Eugene Levy?
Me.
Eli.
Were you kidding? Joking. Okay. All right.
No, I'm not.
What?
Does he play HeroClix?
He might. If Eugene Levy's listening, I will play HeroClix with him. Anyway.
Eugene Levy was the dad in American Pie.
Yeah.
That guy's hilarious.
He's also been in every Christopher Guest film.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff, but I think American Pie is probably the most recognizable.
Andy, did you know that your Lemire guy or whatever his name is? Is it the writer in DC? What's his name?
Jeff Lemire. He's
Canadian.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys are all right.
Yeah.
if you gave us Jeff Lemire, you're all right.
I figured it out because he was tweeting during our big snowstorm.
Oh, okay.
I was like, dang, he's just down the road from me.
Where do you live again, Ian?
Canada.
Canada's a big place.
He lives in the whole country. you also gave us Mike Myers.
Yes.
Mike Myers is pretty fantastic.
Yes.
Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek.
Michael J. Fox, William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
Shatner's Canadian?
Really? They're Canadian?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Montreal.
Yeah, he did
born
that big
Montreal.
Speech at the Vancouver Olympics. You know, we're talking about how wonderful it was to be Canadian. You know, we know how to make love in canoes and not get splinters.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Jim Carrey?
Right. Yeah, I did say Jim Carrey. Yeah, he turned 50. It's crazy.
Justin Bieber?
Oh,
really?
We're done.
Well, you can have him
yeah,
back.
It's over.
Why did you unleash him on the earth?
Why didn't he die of frostbite or something?
He's like Cthulhu.
Ryan Reynolds and
stop.
You guys suck.
Ryan Gosling.
Hey, I know. I gotta go. Alicia Cuthbert.
Oh
yes.
Yeah.
You don't suck anymore.
Thank you.
Lisa Vandervoort.
Who?
You suck less.
Supergirl on Smallville.
Oh, Supergirl, right. Yeah.
Most actors on Smallville.
I'd say Pamela Anderson. But...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's wrong with Dan Aykroyd.
Are we gonna...
Dan Aykroyd? You guys...
Are we going to list everybody from Canada?
Yeah, we're like totally off topic.
Well, why do all these far off? We've gotten most of them so far.
Why do all these successful Canadians leave?
Because they rather steal your money than ours.
Oh.
But it's worth less.
No, there's that.
You just hand out more of it, though.
Well, hey, Jeff Lemire didn't leave yet, apparently.
Less taxes.
That's one.
That's true. You know, that explains a lot, actually, why Jeff Lemire's stuff is so good. He probably just lives in, like, a cabin somewhere. Probably sees a lot of moose.
That whole Arctic adventure historical thing in Sweet Tooth, that probably happened to him last year.
Probably. That's probably why I got the idea.
You know, that was like going to the corner for groceries for him, you know?
Hey, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it down by you where the woman's in big, she's in hot water for getting her 8-year-old son tattooed?
What?
Yeah, there's some
something woman, about that.
Some woman in Georgia's been charged and thrown in jail.
I saw an ad about it, but I saw a link to it, but I didn't read it, so I don't know anything about it.
Oh, and now I saw they were talking about, because someone else brought up the point and said, well, if that's a crime, then parents that get their infant daughter's ears pierced should be charged as well. And now they're opening up this big debate about, you know, too young to get piercings, too young to get tattoos.
Wait, so she got her, what is it? She got her infant tattooed?
No, her 8-year-old son tattooed. But, you know, it's against the law, right? You got to be 18 or whatever, so.
Yeah, she let her 10-year-old son get a tattoo. I found the article. I'm waiting for it to load.
Nice.
Here.
Nice.
All right. Where is it? What part of Georgia is it?
That's what I'm trying to find. Here we go. Well, no.
Hey there, ladies and gents. Optic Frost's the name.
That's great.
Yes, Optic Frost. We love you, Optic Frost.
Been staring at that comment for like a year now.
God,
every time I look at that comment, I laugh out loud. It's so funny.
It's downvoted 6 times.
That's it?
Somebody downvoted it? That's great. I love it.
Or 5 times. Sorry, 5 times.
That's great. Well, let's can we mention the upcoming forums? Can we mention that?
Yeah, people are still listening.
Yeah, hang on for a second.
But by the time they hear this, the forums will not be forthcoming. They'll be here.
That's right.
Hopefully, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
If all goes well tonight, yeah.
Well,
this is in Dan's hands.
It's in Dan. Why don't you give the listeners at home an idea of our forums and what the address is, so that people know where to go.
All right. Well, by the time you do hear this, it should be up and running on, I believe, the forum tab button on comicdac.net. We'll link to this new message board that we will have. But the address is www.comicattack.forumer.com.
Forumer.
Yeah, that's right. .com. So pretty easy to get to, so you'll be able to click that link and sign up, register with us, and come and chat about all our articles, Comic Attacks articles and columns, and all our podcasts. It's a good place for discussions.
Right.
So yes.
Join us.
Give yourself a moniker.
Yes, and a signature.
We're looking forward to seeing you, Optic Frost.
he's been waiting this whole time for that forum, Optic Frost. He's been like on Monday when he sees the forum, he's gonna start crying because it's just so beautiful. He's been waiting for so long.
I'm not taking that off either.
No, don't ever.
No, that has to stay forever.
Yeah.
Hey there, ladies and gents. Optic Frost.
Oh, love you.
I don't know why that's so funny, but it is. It's so funny. Maybe it's the name. This might be the name. I don't know.
It's
expression. It's 40s.
It's funny because he thinks he's talking about the forums. Like, he thinks that's the forums. And he's introducing himself, but there's no forum. And nobody responded to him for like a year.
And Dan did 6 months later.
Right. Welcome aboard. Oh, God. That's funny. Oh, good. Wow. Well, what else is going on in comicattack.net, Ian? I'm the king of the segues.
You just sucked me right in there. Yeah, like, yeah. I was mid-swing.
Say the next part, Ian.
Hey, I was pretty impressed that you got the X-Piles out today.
Yeah, the X-Piles are like up this week.
Sunday delivery. Nice.
That's right. Well, yeah, go check out our X-Piles, what Ian and I have to say about this week's books, X-Men books. There's always lots to check out there. And I just put up a new my monthly Comics for My Religion column and talked a little bit about Jim McCann and Janet Leigh's Return of the Dapper Men and the concept of time in theology. And I actually got a response from Janet Leigh because I tweeted her, and she said something about how she was astounded by how inspiration that they had inspired such deep thought.
Awesome. I put it on Jim McCann's wall, but he never replied.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool that Janet Leigh responded to that.
I own a page from that book, actually.
Yeah. Which one is it?
It's one of the last pages, actually. It's the one where he's walking out of the house in his new dapper clothes.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And there's, like, a full body shot of her as the clock. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love her work, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I also own a page of Emma by her as well.
All right.
So anyway.
Yeah, so there you go. Anything else on Comic Attack that we need to give a shout out to? No? All right. You can go listen to Tales from the Water Cooler. Discussions with Decapitated Dan.
Yeah, he just said he interviewed Terry Moore, which is pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. I was kind of jealous.
Have y'all been reading Rachel Rising?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, Terry Moore tells the full story. You know, he's not writing like... I don't really know what the hell's going on in Rachel Rising, but I really like it.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. So. All right. Anything else you guys want to add before we close out this first season of Contest of Champions?
Nope.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for all the participation, people.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And come back next season and listen to more and spread the word and share it with your friends and all that good stuff.
Do we have a tentative ETA for the next season?
No, in a couple weeks. Whatever that means. Yeah. So
soon.
Soon. Coming soon. We'll talk about it after we're done with the show. So. All right. Well, from all of us at Contest of Champions, thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye now.